Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington, and the show is brought to you by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. It's emp180weightloss.com. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Pickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop. And joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is John Feinstein, bestselling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom, located in Tysons, Virginia, or at golfdomgolf.com. Visit today to experience the best in golf on and off the course. Golf them, live the game. Good morning, John.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, hello, John. My spies were out in Ashburn the other day.
Really?
They said they saw you with Alex Smith over at the Clydes, I guess, interviewing.
Wow, you do have spies.
Yes.
That's pretty impressive.
Did anybody come up to you?
You know, we went late. It was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Uh-huh.
So you can hide.
Yeah, so there weren't that many people around. So it was, which is one of the reasons we went late. I mean, partly because he had to be at the park until, I don't know, 1 o'clock or so.
Right.
But when you especially when you want to do, you're going to be there for a while. I mean, we were there for a couple hours. You don't want to be in the midst of a lunch rush hour. They do big business out there at
right.
lunch, I guess.
Right.
Now, is that just a friendly thing, or is that still book research?
No, book research. Book
okay.
research. I'm doing my sort of exit interviews with each of the five guys right now.
Right.
Hey, recap the five guys: Alex Smith, who are the other
Alex
four?
Smith, Joe Flacco, Andrew Luck, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Doug Williams.
Doug Williams, that's right.
Very interesting. And Alex, in a nutshell, I mean, we've heard the comments and everything. Is he super excited? Or I mean,
yeah, he's fired up. He loved it in Kansas City. He loved playing for Andy Reid. They went to playoffs 4 years out of five. They didn't get to a Super Bowl, but they were very good every year. And he knew when they drafted Patrick Mahomes last year that this was probably going to happen, and this was a landing place that he's very comfortable with, and it's a good place to live. And you know, he's got three little kids, so they're they're trying to figure out schools and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and he likes Jay Gruden a lot. He likes the fact that his head coach and his offensive coordinator are both ex-quarterbacks, and he feels very comfortable with him and with Matt Kavanaugh.
Mm. Right. Well, speaking of the Redskins, might as well stay there for a second. I know you're not a big, like, NFL draft guy or anything really.
Oh, no. I've been reworking my mock draft for the second round all morning.
Right.
Can we book you for our mockery draft next year? Because
yeah.
it's a mockery.
Mock drafts should always be mocked.
Yeah. Well, ours certainly
was.
Ours certainly was.
I was lived up to the billing, but it's fine.
Do you have any sort of sense? I'm sure you're not a huge, like, you haven't broken down the film under Ron Payne, but just the idea of getting a guy up front. When you're 32nd in the NFL against the run, it's pretty much a no-brainer. As far as
were you
ask
the
me.
Coordinator last year?
Not at all.
Oh, okay, because you said we. I just assumed you were
no,
coaching.
No, I am a fan, though, an unabashed fan.
Yeah, well, you can be an unabashed fan. I have no problem with that. I just don't understand. You know, we've been through this before. I don't understand people who refer to a team
as we.
Well,
I can't get that. Let it slide. We've been through this before, John.
Right, we've been through this before.
Yeah.
So anyway, look, I don't think you go wrong taking a defensive player from Alabama. I mean, the pedigree is proven. You're right, Eric. They needed a guy up front in the middle because their defense was bad, and you know they were terrible at stopping the run. And defensive tackles, that's what they're supposed to do, is help stop the run. So I thought, as somebody who has not studied the draft, I thought the pick made sense.
Right.
I think, by the way, we're going to look back in 2, 3, 5, 10 years
mm-hmm.
and say the steal of the draft last night was the Ravens getting Lamar Jackson.
Really?
So you like
because
that?
Because I've talked to a lot of these quarterbacks in the last year, not just the five, but a bunch of others. And NFL quarterbacks pay attention to the college quarterbacks. because they want to know who's coming. And all the guys I talk to just rave about Lamar Jackson's skills. And again, I don't know why, you know, look, African-American quarterbacks have been taken with the first pick, Jameis Winston, Jamarcus Russell, Cam Newton. I just think there's a reluctance, and I'm not even saying that it's conscious, but there's an instinctive pull away from the African-American quarterback still by a lot of scouts in the NFL. And if you watch, I was back and forth between the hockey and the football last night, as I'm sure you guys were. Every time they showed a shot of those war rooms, I didn't see a lot of black faces, I got to tell you.
I agree with you.
You heard Bill Polian saying he's not tall enough to play quarterback. He's 6'3". You know, and how tall is the number one pick in the draft?
6 foot.
So there's always they always want to find a reason if they can to drop the African American guy. And yeah, I know there are going to be people who listen to the show. Oh, there goes Feinstein again on race. Fine, that's fine with me. I will tell you one thing: Doug Williams knows as much about playing a position of quarterback as anybody I've ever met. And I may have told you guys this earlier, but I asked him back in October, if Deshaun Watson had been white, where would, and we now know how good Deshaun Watson is in the NFL. We saw it before he got hurt. I said, where would he have gone in the draft? And he said, ahead of Trubisky. I said, Trubisky went 2. And Doug said, yep, exactly.
Well, there, I think the Ravens got a steal. But it's hard to deny some of that. There's no question about just historically. But I still think, dare I say, it's interesting that they're going to go with Robert, who's not a proven passer at this level. He's had success, but it's not really passing. And it's been proven over time that you really do have to pass from the pocket. And then to go with Jackson, who, you know, we had Charlie on earlier, and Charlie's opinion is he's a runner more than he is a passer and hasn't broken down.
Well, again, I watched him play, and the phrase that the quarterbacks use, not me, mad skills.
Yeah.
And he can throw the heck out of the football. And Robert could throw the heck out of the football, by the way. And his career went downhill. The injury was the key. But the other reason his career went downhill was because he stopped running.
Exactly.
And so, you know, I think that, again, I'm not sure Robert will be on the Ravens roster.
That's my question.
I'm not sure that he will. Because obviously they're not cutting Lamar Jackson, a first-round pick.
Right. So they're going to have like no proven passer as a backup?
It's like
Joe
him and
down?
Ryan Mallett. Was he on the roster at the end of last
year? Ryan Mallett was on the roster last year, yes.
Is he still under contract?
He stinks.
He was terrible.
He was bad.
But you'd think he'd
I think he's gone. I think when they signed Robert, that was sort of the death knell for Mallett.
I think what happened here was
I'm not sure. You know, Ozzie is one of those, you know, best guy on the board. GMs. He always has been. And you know, they kept trading down. They could have drafted him at Jackson at 25. They didn't. I was surprised the Patriots didn't take him. I thought Belichick would take him and when he was still there at 31. But I think Ozzie and Eric DaCosta and their scouts sat in the room and said, this is an opportunity we can't pass on. Because Joe Flacco is 33. And he's you know, he's been banged up the last few years. He's under contract for 4 more years. But you know, if he doesn't have a good season, I could see the Ravens doing with him what the Chiefs did with Alex Smith. Trade him, and then if Jackson shows that he can do, you know, play in the NFL through training camp and then during practices in the regular season, or if he gets into games, who knows, you move Flacco.
How much do they owe him in the next 4 years?
Oh, it's a lot. It's a lot. But, you know, again, with these contracts, I don't know how much of it is guaranteed. And the good thing is when you're trading, like let's say they decided at the end of the season to trade Flacco, because he has 3 years on his contract, he's easier to trade than Alex Smith was with 1 year on the contract because teams don't want to give up that much for a guy who only has 1 year on the contract. That's why the trade was contingent on the contract extension. The Washington wasn't going to give up what it gave up for a guy who was only guaranteed to be on their roster for another year.
What did you think about Mayfield at 1?
I was a little surprised because they're so height obsessed, and you know everybody likes his fire, and I mean not everybody likes his fire, but the Browns liked his fire. I got to tell you, I wouldn't be shocked if he turns out to be another Browns flameout. He reminds me a little bit. He's got a better arm, but he reminds me a little bit in terms of his approach to life of Johnny Manziel.
Yep.
Now, he's better than Johnny Manziel, but I don't study these guys on tape. But I was a little bit surprised that they went with him, because I think not just because of his height, because I don't think height matters as much as the scouts do. I mean, look at Drew Brees, look at Russell Wilson.
I agree with you 100%.
But I always worry if my team were involved about it, whether a guy is going to make more headlines off the field than on the field. Let's put it that way.
Joined by best-selling author and Washington Post columnist John Feinstein. Let's talk Caps Pens. Caps lose, giving up 3 goals in less than 5 minutes in the third period. Jason described it as a devastating loss. So some of the rest of us don't see it as devastating because, look, they just came back from down 2-0 in the previous series. How did you see it?
Well, I'll do Billy Martin and say I can see it both ways. Losing, it was a bad loss. I mean, I'm watching, and I at the end of 2 periods, I was thinking, honestly, the final score was going to be 1-0 or 2-0 on an empty netter. That's what I was, in the back of my mind. The Caps were doing a great job of bottling them up. Now, it's worth remembering that Malkin and Hagelin didn't play. Malkin will probably be back Sunday based on what I'm reading, because you got to read tea leaves with all these upper body, lower body injury things. Don't know about Hagelin. Hagelin's very important because he's another one of those guys who has such blinding speed. But, I'm thinking, okay, they're going to win game one, and it's not a big deal because you guys probably know the Caps are 8-2, or were 8-2,
right,
against the Penguins in game ones, and 1-9 in series outcomes. So you don't get all fired up about winning game one. But then they turn around and lose game one. So now they're kind of on a precipice, because Columbus isn't the Penguins. There aren't any ghosts that come to town with the Blue Jackets. They're a solid NHL team. They're not the Penguins. They haven't won back-to-back titles. They haven't been, the Caps' kryptonite for all these years the way the Penguins have been. So it's a worse loss than the Game 1 loss against Columbus. Now, Malkin probably comes back Sunday. Obviously, they need to win. And remember, I made this point that they were down 2-0 to the Penguins last year, mm-hmm, and ended up taking a series 7 games, but remember Crosby got hurt.
That's right.
And what did he miss? I think he missed 3 games. And so you can't count on that happening. And assuming the Penguins stay healthy, the Caps damn well better win on Sunday, or the series, I think, might be over in 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, do you see the Wizards winning at home tonight, forcing a game 7 in Toronto?
I think they can. Now, if Porter doesn't play or he's hobbled, that's a big deal.
A lot of people say that
Dean
Smith
hasn't
played all series.
Say he can play one great game without a key player. So we'll see if that were to hold up if he doesn't play. They can win. This has been a home court series. I always kind of roll my eyes at John Wall the other day when he said, well, it's a best of 3 series and someone's going to have to win a road game. No, the Wizards are going to have to win a road game.
Right.
The Raptors don't have to win a road game. But if they win tonight, which I think they can, I sincerely hope Wall doesn't jump on the scorer's table. That if you win game 7.
That would be a bad look. I would agree with you on that.
Is that what
they can win now. Going up and winning at Toronto, they've had 3 cracks and haven't done it. But game 7, you never know.
Year, right.
John did it, what, when they won a series? And they
No, when they won game 6 against the Celtics.
Yeah, right. He did that last year.
When they had to go to Boston for game 7.
Yeah, right, he was just hyped up.
Right.
He was just hyped
up. Fine. But, again, everybody knows I'm not as big a Wall fan as most people in this town. I think he's a hell of a player. Don't misunderstand me. And I underrated him coming out of college. There's no doubt about that. He's better than I thought he was going to be. That being said, especially when you're the leader of a team, you have to think about how your actions will affect your team.
And how do you think that negatively affected them, though? How did that negatively affect them, though?
Did they win game 7?
Well, because he jumped on the table.
It doesn't help. You never give anybody another bow in the arrow.
Yeah.
There's no need. You win game 7, you're not going to face that team again? Fine, go ahead, celebrate. But when the series is ongoing, you got to kind of cool your jets. I can't say or prove that's why they lost. They probably would have lost anyway, but it's, as you said initially, it's not a good look.
Hey, John, enjoy Avengers Infinity War tonight.
Yes.
Oh, I can't wait.
Please let us know.
No, I'm gonna be busy. I'm going to be watching tape because I got to be ready for those last few rounds tomorrow.
That's very important. Yeah, right. You're right.
All right, John, we'll talk to you about
it. Right,
thank
have
you.
A good weekend.
You
right,
too.
John Feinstein.
I haven't seen many of the... Did Kevin say there were
18
movies,
yes,
leading up to,
correct,
Avengers Infinity War?
I'd rather watch C-SPAN 18 times.
But I know I've seen more than John Feinstein.
And I've seen them all.
That's
and probably paid for...
You've seen them all?
I'm guessing I've seen probably
really?
I've probably seen every movie in the
you
Marvel
saw, like, the
Cinematic
Nubs,
Universe.
Captain America movies?
Captain America's pretty good.
I don't, you know what? I don't know you. I really don't.
You don't.
I do not know
it's
you.
It's just a different side of me. I'm a Renaissance man.
I like the Iron Man films. I've seen all of those.
Yeah.
That's those like three.
Yeah, that's three out of 18.
I think I've
Black
seen
Black Panther,
Hulk.
Thor.
But which Hulk counts as part of like this? Because there was a Hulk with Edward Norton.
That
and
one
there,
does, that
the
doesn't
one
count. It's separate from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's different.
Yeah.
It's a different thing.
I might have seen the wrong Hulk.
You saw the Hulk with Eric Bana? No, terrible.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Terrible.
And the one with Ed Norton.
Correct. Now the Hulk is Mark Ruffalo in the Marvel.
I didn't even realize that.
Universe.
So there
how can they pay all those big name actors?
Have you seen how much money
they
these
send
movies
the budget
are making?
$300 to $400 million.
Yeah, it's nuts.
But it's going to,
yeah,
make $1.5 to $2 billion worldwide. Yeah. So that's how they can pay.
I guess. Mm.
So there are two different Hulks. There's a Hulk that has nothing to do with the Marvel world.
Yeah, that was like directed
yes,
by Ang
actually,
Lee.
There were two Hulks.
Like, but you know, originally,
it's like when Tobey Maguire was Spider-Man.
They just did a reboot.
They just rebooted.
Okay, but it started like the,
yeah,
Hulk TV show that I watch.
Yes,
right.
Is that the same guy?
Same guy.
The same character.
Same character, yeah, exactly.
Yes, still,
but not the same actor.
Of course.
Yes.
I know it's
right,
like Bill,
yeah,
Bixby, I mean, and Lou Ferrigno.
Honestly, at this point, I figured we should start from square one.
Bill Bixby.
Right.
Well, I don't think Valdez has seen many of them. I think he asked when we had Kevin.
I've
on.
Seen like a handful.
Yeah,
I've seen some of the Iron Man. Bits and pieces,
right,
of
you're like
Captain
me.
America.
I've seen them all. Every
no
last
interest
one.
In, no interest
I just,
in four.
I like hype.
Well, did
There's
you see
a
Black
lot
Panther?
Of course I saw Black Panther.
Okay, so you have seen them all.
Maybe
seen
that's why all? You and I get along, because we're opposites. Complete opposites.
Maybe that's what it is. Opposites attract.
All right, coming up next, Craig Hoffman is going to join us, our Redskins beat reporter. We'll
see
get back
Hoff.
Into the Redskins draft, what they did last night, and what they should do moving forward. Keep it here on The Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. You know what? We've been giving away Chalk Talk tickets all week, and we have a pair to give away right now. 10th caller at 800-636-1067. You'll get tickets to go see Chalk Talk. Sean Doolittle will be hanging out with Grand Danny June 6th at the DC Improv. There are tickets on sale through dcimprov.com, but you can win your way in right now on the Junkies. Get more details at thefandc.com/contest.
When are we scheduling the Chalk Outline Talk to talk about the Caps after they lose the Pens?
That's
put
a nice
that on
zing.
The calendar.
I think we just did.
Valdez, please put that on the calendar.
Well, if they don't
for
win
idea
game two.
Bits for down the line.
It might be Monday when you schedule it.
Hey, you look, you're always looking for revenue, right? Always looking for outside revenue, not NTR, non-traditional revenue, Chalk Outline Talk. Let's look into that. Sorry, I'm in a dark place.
All right, Craig Hoffman, our Redskins beat reporter, joins us.
What's up, Seahoff?
I think I'm doing better than anybody who's talking about the Caps.
I'll be fine.
Well, it was just a bad loss.
You don't have
okay.
kids. He has a daughter that's so vested in the Caps that she goes to bed crying sometimes.
Last night was an improvement. She didn't go to bed crying.
Did you?
I did not.
No,
okay. I had two
beers. Drinking.
I'm drinking.
Have you ever cried
that,
after
that hasn't prevented
Caps
tears
loss
for many
ever in your life?
Have I ever?
I'm sure we've asked you this before.
Ooh, have I ever cried after a Caps loss? This is
probably
a good question. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're forlorn.
But again, I can solve it with alcohol. So I drank two beers during the game, and then
you
as soon
nuts.
As the beer,
but
two as soon as doesn't give you a buzz.
No, but as soon
oh,
as
it
the
numbs
was,
the pain. Numbs
as soon
the
as the game was over,
100%
it looked like perfect time to go to bed. And I said, "Well, I think I need one more just to help numb it a little bit." So I sprinted.
You know what numbed the pain for me?
The tramadol. So I sprinted downstairs.
See, I took it last night.
And I had a Corona Light right before
the
bed.
The night before I didn't take it.
Squeezed a big old lime into it.
I had a
it.
Fitful night of sleep. You take tramadol, you sleep well.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm in my bed watching the game, Seahawks. And my daughters are walking around up on the top floor just taking showers and getting ready for doing homework.
Right.
And I'm watching the game in my bed. Lights are off. Dogs at at the foot of the bed.
And this is 7:15 p.m. for him.
Yes.
No, it was games.
That's why he doesn't have bags. I'm jealous.
This was at, 2-0. So mm-hmm. It was probably 8-something. So Penn score. Ava's my daughter. She was walking around. Ava, it's 2-0 Caps. All right, cool. Ava, it's 2-1 now. Really? Okay. Ava, it's 2-2. What? Ava, it's 3-2 Pens. Are you kidding me? And that was within 4 minutes.
Yeah, it was right. Quick.
I mean, she thought I was just messing with her.
Well, no, my son walked his buddy out. He had a buddy come over, and they were hanging out after the game. He walked his buddy out to the car, came back, and they had scored 2 goals.
Right.
Well, they scored in
2 goals?
When they scored the first and second, was that
within 2 minutes?
2 minutes. I thought it was going to say about a minute, minute and a half?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad. We had it on a couple computers in the media room out of Redskins Park. And by the way, your daughter's correct response to, hey, we're up 2-0 was, oh, crap. That's the worst score for the Capitals.
Well, next
the
time I tell
playoff.
That, she probably will say that.
Yeah.
Can't hold 2-0 leads for whatever reason. No.
Was Redskins Park a buzz?
For the Caps
Payne?
Or
no, for their
Payne?
Pick?
I think it was, I wouldn't say it was buzz. It was like, okay, that was, we get that.
Did they prefer Vita Vea? I don't know if anybody asked.
We don't.
Them.
We asked in the press
he
conference.
He skirted the question.
Yeah,
a little bit.
He didn't. Jay's not going to give that answer. Right.
Which means
I don't know.
Vea was higher.
I don't know.
Probably.
I mean, maybe. My understanding was that they thought of those guys in the relative same tier. Obviously, they had one ahead of the other, but I don't think there was a huge difference in there. I know there wasn't a huge difference in their eyes between those two. And I also know that when it came down to it with the guys that were available, it came down to Derwin James and Deron.
What I don't understand is why it just seems so obvious to me. So many people that I respect really felt like they should have gone with Derwin James, and to me, the much bigger that's almost like a luxury item. The much bigger need was up front.
Yeah,
if it's
no, I agree.
So bad against the run, why would we? I mean, why would you consider that if you have two guys rated equally? Why would you go with the safety? When you've been 32nd in the league against the run, and you've been in the bottom 5 or 6 for the last 4 or 5 years.
Because it's a passing league, you need guys who can cover tight ends.
Now, here's the counter.
And Derwin James, he's a good run tackler, too. I mean, he's just a good all-around player.
What if you had spent a little more money on Hankins, maybe, in free agency, then you plug that hole, and then you have the luxury of being able to draft James out of Florida State?
Sure. But
I like that.
I think the people that want Derwin James don't think that James and Payne are equal players. They think James is better, and the Redskins didn't see it that way. And by the way, I talked to another non-Redskin scout who said he's got him in the same tier as well. So this is not some unique opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That those guys are relatively equal. I think everyone thinks James is better because he was consistently mocked in the top 10. Everyone had him going 7 at Tampa, so it's like, oh my God, he's a top 10 player.
And by the way, where did he end up going? Like 18 or 17?
Yeah,
17,
The league told you that Derwin James was not as good as the hype in terms of being a prospect. Now, at the same time, I think a lot of people think he's really good. The same scout that told me James and Payne were in the same tier. I remember talking to him at the combine, and he was like, Derwin James is a stud. Mm-hmm. That dude's on the board, you take him. But at the same time, he fell down to 18. So a lot of teams made that determination. Whether something came up in their evaluation as they got deeper in the process, or teams didn't need safeties, then, well, James winds up going farther down.
In particular, the Redskins, you pointed this out on your Twitter account and social media, that it highlights how high they are on Monte Nicholson.
They love the kid. And yeah. Look, if you
he
watch him
plays
last year,
when he's on the field.
If you watch him last year, you see why. The concern with Monte is just health. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it was going back to Michigan State. He was hurt at Michigan State. nevertheless, you know, last year only playing a couple of games, but man, when he was on the field, they were so different. I think he was as big of a loss as Jonathan Allen last year because he just covered so much. And also what he was allowed DJ Swearinger to do in terms of just playing in the box on top of, you know, his own ability over the top, that kind of dual impact that he has on this defense is massive. And so having a guy like that is important. The thing is, they have it, and they just need to try to get Nicholson healthy as opposed to trying to replace him right after one season.
Yeah, that's kind of silly. Eric, you're right. I mean, they felt like that was the bigger need.
Yeah.
And that's why they went with Payne. I wonder if they would have taken Payne, even if Vea was available, if they would have taken Payne anyway, just because of the connection with Jonathan Allen and Ryan Anderson. I don't know if that comes into play at all.
I mean, not really. I think they're going to take the guy they think is the better player.
But they did watch tape of those guys playing together, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jay alluded to it.
Jay, I mean, look, they noticed Payne last year when they studied Jonathan Allen and Ryan Anderson, which tells you something about how much that guy popped. I think the interesting one is if Fitzpatrick had been on the board. You know, do they go, look, I don't know if whether Nicholson gets hurt and he plays safety, or whether we play him in slot corner, whatever it is, we feel like we can find a place for Minkah Fitzpatrick. I do kind of wonder, and maybe it is.
But that's the same argument, though. I'd still have the same argument. You still have the bigger need up front.
Yeah, no, I agree. I just think I think Fitzpatrick's on a different level.
So tell us what the front seven.
By the way, I wonder if Miami, if Arizona didn't trade up to 10 and Rosen's sitting there at 11 for Miami, if they would have taken him. Because Aikman made a point. He said Adam Gase loves Tannehill. So they may have passed on him, too. And I don't know where Rosen would have gone after that.
Yeah, well, you wonder if all of a sudden the Redskins could have made a trade with somebody. Maybe Arizona
comes
up.
Maybe they come to 13, right?
Yeah.
So kind of tell us what the front seven is going to look like based on what they have right now, kind of the depth chart with the defensive line and the linebackers.
It actually, I mean, I think it looks pretty good. You know, you got Allen, Ioannidis, and Payne up front, and you got guys like Ziggy Hood and Phil Taylor and Stacey McGee and Terrell McClain all floating out there trying to make, you know, battle for spots on this roster as backups, which is a quality group of backups as long as they're playing minimal snaps. But you got your studs now up front, Allen, Ioannidis, Payne.
You know, it's interesting. Charlie referred to him, though, as two-thirds of a D-line when we had him on. So he's obviously not a fan of Matt Ioannidis, but who came on?
He was awesome last year. He was really good.
Yeah, so I guess he's not a fan of Ioannidis.
He was especially good when Allen was healthy.
Yes, absolutely. So you got at least two premier players you're hoping. If you spend a first-round pick, 13 on a guy, you're hoping Payne is premier.
Yeah,
Allen, we know,
could be studs for a
premier,
long time, yeah.
If he can stay healthy. And then whatever Ioannidis is, which is at least a good player.
And then with Ryan Anderson, we really just don't know how good he's going to be.
But then you got Preston Smith, Ryan Kerrigan, and then Brown and Foster. And by the way, I know Mason's psyched. He was tweeting about it, and I also was texting with him a little bit last night. He said it's a great pick. He's not going to see a lot of offensive linemen getting up on him, and that's the biggest thing.
Edmonds,
yeah, probably is
right.
But they, you know, with guys like Brown and Foster, who are so good against the run and getting downhill, if you keep them clean, you have guys who can eat double teams and not let those guards come off double teams and get up to the second level and get a body on Foster and Brown. Those guys can shoot gaps and get downhill and do what they do and play physically. And this run defense can be a lot more of what it was at the beginning of last year as opposed to what it was at the end.
Significantly better.
Yeah.
Significantly
better. I mean, they were good at the beginning of last year. And then the injury started to pile up, and then they finished dead last.
Right.
What about at the top of the draft with Baker going one and then, you know, Giants jumping all over Barkley? But now, no one will ever know this, but do you believe that the Jets would have taken Baker Mayfield at three? I don't think so. I don't think they would have taken Mayfield over Darnold. Just my opinion. So,
but who would have gone one then in that scenario?
I'm saying Cleveland could have probably gotten Barkley and then still gotten Mayfield at four.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's possible. I think the Jets, probably wanted Darnold all along. I mean, they're an organization that now has a guy with Todd Bowles who's a lot more even-keeled. But for it almost feels like that's more of a Giants than a Jets pick. Like, hey, let's get the even-keeled guy who's not going to get a ton of headlines because he's boring as hell. And Sam Darnold's really boring. But that's exactly what the Jets need. It's a lot of what this franchise needed with a guy like Kirk and a guy like Alex is the same way, where you're just not going to get the crazy headlines from the quarterback position. You let the craziness happen elsewhere in the organization. And so I think, but that was so risky. You couldn't, if you're John Dorsey,
it's risky.
Couldn't, unless you loved two of the quarterbacks and thought you could get one, you had to take.
Well, the Giants obviously didn't want a quarterback. I think if the Browns take Barkley, the Giants probably take Chubb there at two because they're not going to take a quarterback. And then I just think the Jets really wanted Darnold just based on their reactions.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they could have gotten Barkley.
They didn't think they had a shot at Darnold.
Yeah, I didn't think so either. Yeah.
So, because I think there were some people in the Giants building that liked Darnold. And so I don't know how easy of a decision that was. I think Gettleman's ultimately the decision maker, and he was probably pretty set on Barkley. But I'm sure there were some people going, hey, you sure about this? We really like this Darnold kid. No, we're going to take Barkley. Okay.
It was very interesting.
So the Skins pick, what, 13 tonight?
Yeah, so there's 44th
overall. JP says when we come back, we're up against a break. Let's go through some of the guys you think they're targeting.
Cool.
Right? Because that's going to be an impactful player. All right, yeah. Don't go anywhere.
They should mention coming up at 9 o'clock, Darren Pang is going to join us in the NHL Network. We'll get back into Caps Pens, get his take on what went down last night and the series.
Are you going to call him the Panger?
If you want me to.
Well, yeah, call him the Panger.
What's up, Panger?
Yeah, what's up, Panger? I think that's what all his colleagues call him.
I would imagine.
The Panger.
You're big into nicknames. You're like Tiger that way.
It's a hockey guy. Everyone's got a nickname.
I like nicknames. Seahawk, Bick, Cakesy.
Yeah, that's your thing.
Is NHL Network owned by NBC Sports? Because then we would technically be colleagues.
I don't know. I'd have to look into it.
No idea.
Seahawk, do you know that answer?
I do not.
But Seahawk was going to fill us in on what he thinks the Redskins might do here in the second round.
So you're going back to Ashburn today?
Yes.
What time
tomorrow.
What time will you be there today?
Probably about the same time, 7-ish.
The second round actually starts at 7, correct? Does it start later?
Actually, I got to double check that. Maybe I'll be there earlier.
I thought it started.
One day at a time.
It might start 7:30.
Where do you guys hang out?
Like it's the media annex. It's a little building that's off of the main building, siloed away.
It's not fun.
I mean, it's fun in that it's a good group, as you guys know, guys like John Keim, JP Finley, Rich Tandler, like we're all in there. Kimberly Martin and Kareem Copeland from the Post, so it's a good crew. We have a good time. There's a lot of
a wait and see job. Like you're sitting in there, you have your.
I mean, it's kind of funny because someone like Kimberly has sources around the league because she's covered multiple teams. So like she broke the Bills pick last night, sitting 10 feet from me, and it's like. Mm-hmm. That just happened over there. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of wait and see, yeah.
So she broke the trade up to get Allen?
No, she broke Allen once it happened. She was the first one I saw who had that pick.
Oh, I got you.
All right, so it's always interesting the second round because you have a bunch of guys who had alleged first round grades, right? And when you look at it, you see 7 or 8 guys at least that might be nice targets for the Redskins. And the one that we were talking about during the break is the guard Hernandez, right? That
I
makes
don't see
a
how
lot
he lasts
of sense.
44, but good God, if he does, if they don't take him, that's just mind numbing.
I mean, that,
tell
that's
us about
a
him. I'm not that familiar with him other than last night. Watching
huge,
it.
Huge, really strong. Like one of the best bench press guys. Which
he's like 350 pounds.
Yeah, he's
massive.
He's enormous, and a guy who a lot of teams do have a first round grade on. It's just that he's a guard, and so. Right. Positional value, you're not going to go reach in there. You thought he'd go in the 20s, but if for them, where they have a need at left guard.
Are they comfortable, by the way, with the health of both of their tackles now?
As healthy as you can be when they're not going to be ready to training camp. I mean, they're on pace, but they're not going to be ready till training camp. So
they believe come September, Morgan Moses, Trent Williams, they're going to be fine.
Yeah, that tackle was not deemed a need for them in this draft. So Hernandez would definitely be a guy to look at. I think there's some other guys, too, that are super intriguing just from their talent level. Josh Jackson of Iowa was a guy I saw mocked.
It's Cakes' guy.
I think I saw it mocked as high as 10.
Yeah, he really hasn't worked out for the Phoenix Suns, in my opinion. But he actually put up numbers late in the season. But this Josh Jackson, I mean, if he's there, I don't think he's going to last that long. But he has to be considered by the Skins.
Yeah, I mean, he's long. He's kind of built like Norman is. Yep. Long, athletic, little thinner, but big enough to be physical. And so if he could eventually be your Norman replacement. I mean, Rich Chandler wrote about this a couple weeks ago, and I don't think it got nearly enough run. The Redskins' cap situation in 2019 is bad.
Is it?
And the guy that makes the most sense to free up the most space to let go is Norman. Yeah. And so while Moreau and Dunbar are on the roster now, and you think those are probably in an ideal situation, those are their starters for the future, getting a guy as talented as Jackson could easily knock one of those guys out.
Do you think Geis and Jones will both be there at the running back spot at 44? And if they're both there and they go running back, who do you think the Redskins would take?
I would think Geis, but I know they met with Jones a couple times too. I mean, Kyle Smith was out at the USC Pro Day. He was right front and center as everyone's watching Sam Darnold throw. I went back and I'm like, oh, wait, that's Kyle. And they weren't there watching Darnold. I mean, they were to a point because everyone, you want to have a good feel for everyone, but they were much more interested in guys like Ronald Jones. So I know they like a lot of these running backs. I had a conversation with a guy a couple weeks ago, and I named about four or five running backs and said, hey, so that second tier, do you guys feel like you can get someone at 44? You know, Penny, and started naming guys. He goes, yeah, I like all those guys and some you didn't name. I'm not giving you a number.
Yeah.
So they like a lot of these guys. So I don't know who they would take in that situation. Would be Geis.
The problem is they don't have the third rounder.
Penny was drafted by the Seahawks.
Yep. How many running backs went in the first round?
Three.
Barkley, Penny, and who's Michelle. The other one?
Michelle.
Went to the Patriots.
Because I remember we had Charlie on, and I always put a lot of stock in Charlie, and he said he had five or six guys that he was high on.
But see, that's the thing. Since you don't have the third rounder, if you skip on the RB in the second round,
you're not going to get one.
Now you're looking at a fourth round guy.
You got to bank on and that pick being there in the
fourth.
You're
looking at the 2018 version of Samaje Perine.
But honestly, what's a bigger need? Running back? Let's assume Chris Thompson comes back healthy because he was dynamic.
Line.
Or you're going to start with Ari Quanjo. I love him, the Matha kid, but he's been cut and released several times. He's a backup at this point in the league.
Yeah, they're both pretty big. If you feel like you can get a running back, a good one in the fourth round, then you probably take the interior
lineman. So part of this is the pool of players. And the people that know things about offensive line play say this is a really, really deep drafted guard. So I think there might be a better chance to get a quality guard in the fourth than a quality running back where you have a group of really good running backs, that one of whom might be available at 44.
I'll buy that.
Now, Geis, what is his... Like, supposedly his stock has dropped a little bit because of off-the-field stuff. And I followed it loosely. Did he make up stuff about his interviews?
No one's really been able to put it exactly what happened. But, you know, he said that he was asked controversial and inappropriate questions at the Combine.
His
sexuality and basically the Dez Bryant questions. And because this is clearly a family, clearly a family-friendly show. So I'm being very nondescript.
you guys have a
reputation,
clearly.
You know?
Yeah, right.
Sure.
So he either made that up. He seemed to have made that up, or just embellished the story that he wasn't
so
really. He's asked
issues.
Some stuff, and so it comes down to like if teams can trust him, or is he just a knucklehead that doesn't know what to say?
Trouble at LSU?
But not. I was told by one scout, not really like a model student, but. Who cares? He's not going to class in the pros.
I mean, who cares about
he's a good kid.
He wasn't failing drug tests or anything.
No, good kid, maybe a little immature, but nothing more than that. No reason that he should have been dropping like this. Like, this scout was upset that this kid was getting dragged. He's like, this is ridiculous. I don't know why this would be happening. Whether it's a team sabotaging or whatever it is, like, this is ridiculous. So... if the Redskins draft guys, I think you can feel pretty good about it. They've definitely done their homework. They met with him three times, and they got people down in that area of the country that they can trust.
I think they're going to take him if he's there.
I think they would too.
I think they're going to take guys if he's there.
I think they would too.
I know you were big. Whenever we'd have you on, you were big on Michelle. Now he's gone.
Yeah.
Were you a fan of Chubb?
No, I think Nick Chubb's a good player. Like I think that one, obviously their O-line was really good. They just had Isaiah Wynn get taken. Who's a first-round caliber guy. They got a couple other pros on that offensive line. Their run scheme is really, really good. So there's some systemic things there at Georgia that set those guys up for success. But Chubb also, like, he's pretty quick. He and Michelle's 40s at the combine were not that different.
Yeah.
Now, Michelle plays a hell of a lot faster. Like, Sony Michelle is clearly bad at track. We need to work on his 40 start because he's way faster than what he ran at the combine. But Chubb's a powerful guy. He's been consistent over his four-year career at Georgia. He's had a little bit. He had the one really gruesome bad injury a couple years ago, but came back from that to be a 1,000-yard back. If they take Nick Chubb, I'm all right with it. He's better than Samaje Perine, flat out.
Yeah.
So because
Michelle was always characterized as like the outside the tackle guy, and Chubb was always the inside the tackle guy. But they're pretty much.
They both could do both. Really,
that's what I'm saying. They're pretty similar.
Michelle's a more electric player for sure. I think the question is, like, how do you feel about these guys? And this is the smaller, minute stuff, but it's the stuff that matters. It might be the separator. How are they in pass protection, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're the first and second down back in the Redskins offense, you better well know how to pass protect. Your identification skills must be high. Your actual blocking skills must be high. And so whether that's a guy like Ronald, how are you as a back out of the backfield as a receiver? So whether that's Ronald Jones, Nick Chubb, whoever else is available, some of these guys – that maybe we're not as obvious. I think that's the kind of the separator because they're all obviously really talented runners.
Who's going to be on the outside looking in if they draft a running back in the second round or fourth round? I mean,
I would think Rob Kelly.
Yeah, right.
I would think, but I think he's going to have a chance to compete. I mean, they're not. There's no way they cut P. Ryan, but they could keep four. I mean, they kept four last year until they had to cut Mac Brown, and the only reason they cut Mac Brown was because they needed the 13-0 lineman that one week, and they were going to re-sign him on Monday if the Vikings didn't pick him up, and then the Vikings picked him up.
Right.
So they could go in, but whoever that fourth, so they're keeping, those third and fourth guys are, they better be ready to play special teams.
So they're keeping P. Ryan over Kelly.
I would think
just because of the investment.
Draft capital, but yeah. unless P. Ryan just looks like dog.
P. Ryan was a dud to me.
Yeah, unless he looks like dog crap.
He was a dud.
He had some big games.
He played okay towards the end, but he was a big disappointment.
Yeah.
Couldn't get the third and one against New Orleans.
What
a terrible play call, though.
Niles Paul blocked somebody. That's conversion.
What happens to this quarterback sneak? I mean, the Patriots get like 8 yards on quarterback sneaks.
Does Alex Smith ever sneak? I wonder.
Yeah,
that's an interesting question.
I think so. He's big. Because
we never called him. We have an inch to go, and we never call him. Why not quick snap?
It was literally third and inches. If they get that, they win that game.
Not in Gruden's playbook, apparently.
One of the 18 plays in that game. If they get this one.
I know, but that was the one. Annoying. That was the one that was critical.
All right, Craig, thanks for joining us in studio. It's Craig Hall.
How do you grade the first round pick? Just give it a grade.
B+.
B+, all right. What would have made it an A for you?
A little bit better value.
Vita Vea?
Vita Vea. Yeah.
They trade down to like 15, 16, get the same guy? A.
Hey.
I'm telling you, Vita Vea would have filled two voids. They could have played him at running back.
Who do you think they're taking at 44?
I have no idea.
I know.
So you think running back? You think they're going to go running back? You kind of convinced me.
Give us a player. Give us a name.
Chubb.
Really?
I'll go Nick Chubb.
Then we can play Chubb Rock all the time.
Yeah, yes,
Justin, too.
And then I'm going to 100% tweet Chubb for Chubb.
Yes.
Apparently, if your last name's Chubb, you're really good at football.
So we've learned.
You just are.
Right?
Yep. That's Craig Hoffman, a Redskins beat reporter. You can read his work at thefandc.com. Coming up next, the Panger. Darren Pang as we talk Caps Pens here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.